This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Local talk jock Howie Carr, he'll just be another lost voice.
Would you look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go. AM talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr.
It's a busy Friday in local government. The head of the Mass Convention Center Authority has been ousted after an undistinguished 13 months as the DEI boss. Got a $500,000 payment. Now the city of Boston is being investigated by Housing and Urban Development, the federal agency, for alleged DEI housing discrimination. We'll get to that in a moment. But the first thing I wanted to talk about is Boston is also being sued, the city, by Judicial Watch, the watchdog public interest group out of D.C., for withholding public records tied to Mayor Wu's pro-immigration rally. Remember that in September with the Mariachi band? It was like something out of Saturday Night Live when Saturday Night Live was funny. They had this a Mariachi band, right? And it was at City Hall. It was on City Hall Plaza to publicly defy. Again, it was like satire, maybe a Mel Brooks movie in the old days. It was to defy a federal order to dismantle the city's sanctuary protections for illegal aliens. The city has since been sued by the Trump administration. So yesterday, Judicial Watch has been trying to get the records of what happened, including the emails and texts before the rally, and the how much that damn Mariachi band was paid. And I guess I could speak personally. I know how City Hall responds to these requests. They stonewall, and then you go to the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State says, yeah, the city has to turn them over. And then the city says, bleep you, sue us. And, you know, the media, I don't have the deep pockets to sue. The Boston Globe has no interest in suing. Most of the other regime-controlled media are broke, so they just get away with it. But now Judicial Watch has sued. And on the line we have Michael Bekesha. He's the senior attorney for Judicial Watch. Michael Bekesha, I'm so happy you guys are doing this. Tell us what this lawsuit involves.
Yeah, it's exactly as you just described it. We sent a records request to the city back at the end of August after this racist press conference happened. And, you know, we're interested in some serious matters, such as what Boston was going to respond to the Attorney General, why Boston thought it didn't have to comply with federal immigration law. But then also we're interested in whose brilliant idea it was to have a mariachi band start this press conference, how much the mariachi band was paid, and what the city was saying about it at that time. I mean, it seems as though maybe cultural appropriation by Mayor Wu, definitely racist. And you know, the public has a right to know why city officials thought this was a good idea.
Right, especially when the budget, the city budget, is out of control, as has come out more and more. local residential property owners are looking at a 13% increase in their property taxes. 13%. And, you know, when inflation is under 3% and commercial property values are plummeting because they can't get anybody to move into the city for the same reason that they can't get anybody to move into any of the commercial downtown districts in any of these failed blue states.
You don't think people are going to move in so they can hear the mariachi band?
I'm so glad you're doing this, but I mean, you know, the thing is, you're going to have to file. Didn't you file this in state court?
We did, and so you know, we're
good luck
right to the mayor. You know, we are hopeful that, you know, it's a straightforward request. It's a straightforward lawsuit. We're hoping to get the records and, you know, shed a little bit more light on what the mayor and her staff is doing over there.
Yeah, I like the statement by Tom Fitton yesterday and when the suit was filed. Mayor Wu staged a racist political spectacle instead of cooperating with federal law enforcement, even as dangerous criminal aliens are at large in her city. But she doesn't care. She wants to protect the illegal aliens, and the mariachi band was her way of showing that that illegal aliens come first in the city of Boston.
Yeah, I mean, we've been monitoring this around the country of mayors and governors standing up and saying they're going to resist federal law. They're not going to cooperate. They're going to allow dangerous criminal aliens to remain on the street and victimize U.S. citizens. But this is the first time we've seen an elected official add some music to it. And I think it just makes it even worse.
It does. It really does. And did they even respond to you when you submitted the public records request, which is the state version of a Freedom of Information Act request at the federal level? Did they respond at all, or did they just when the phone didn't ring, you knew it was the city of Boston?
They responded very quickly the same day and said our original request was way too broad. There was no way they could respond to it. So they asked us to narrow it. We narrowed it, you know, within 12 hours, within 24 hours. And they said, great, thanks. And then complete silence since. And it's been over 3 months since they were required to respond to us. And so, you know, they're able to respond when they want to tell us that we need to fix something, but then when it's time for them to take responsibility and do their job, they go silent.
You know, the mayor a couple of years ago had a No Whites Need Apply Christmas party at a public building known as the Parkman House on Beacon Hill. No whites were allowed at the party.
We did some public records on that. I think we may have actually sued over that as well.
I'm just wondering if you have to serve some papers, maybe this year, maybe we can find out what the date is for the No Whites Need Apply Christmas party and get them walking in to down on Beacon Street there. It's right across from the Common. It's a very nice location for an apartheid Christmas party.
I wonder what music of choice they'll pick for that.
Well, it won't be Jingle Bells because that's racist. As Joy Reid told us yesterday. So, I mean, we're laughing about it, but this is absurd. And this thing that HUD is launching a federal investigation, which we're going to talk about later on. I mean, that this is serious. They're telling white residents and Asian residents too. Even though she's Asian, not from Boston, she's from Chicago, but she's an Asian, and she's telling him, you guys, you whites and Asians have to go to the back of the bus when it comes to getting federal dollars for housing. This is racist. All of these policies are, you're right, Judicial Watch is correct, Michael Bakasha. This is racist.
It absolutely is, and you continue to see this with the city. I'm glad the federal government stepped up and stepped up on the immigration issue and sent this essential demand letter today. And hopefully it does something. But my concern is these cities like Boston, these mayors are, you know, too ingrained in their thought to ever change course and do what's right for their citizens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she suffered no blowback. I mean, you know, her only opponent, who was very well heeled, the son of New England Patriots owner Bob Kraft, he dropped out after the preliminary election because he was going to get stomped so badly. The taxpayers, the productive citizens, have pretty much left the city of Boston, and all that's left is the Michelle Wu Marachi Band types, and it's a shame. But that's the way it is. So if people want to learn more about Judicial Watch, Michael Bekesha, where should they go?
Judicialwatch.org, as well as we're on X and Facebook and Instagram and, I don't know, all those social media sites. But judicialwatch.org is the best place to go and sign up for our newsletter that comes out weekly.
Thanks for doing this, and tell Tom Fitton we appreciate it in Boston. And someone's got to try to keep their feet to the fire. I don't know how much good it does, but it's good to put the fear of God or somebody into them every once in a while. Thank you, Michael Bekesha from Judicial Watch. Imagine a scenario where you or your loved ones face a threat. Your first instinct might be to resort to lethal force, but it's crucial to consider a safer, less lethal alternative first to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Introducing Byrna. Byrna's less lethal pistol launcher. This device is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition and designed to incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes, providing a critical window for you to escape or to get help while minimizing the risk of permanent harm. Here's a real-life account from a Byrna customer named Adam. While heading to his night shift, Adam encountered a road-raging driver who swerved dangerously, stopped abruptly, and aggressively approached him. Remaining calm, Adam dialed 911 and armed himself with his Byrna launcher. He aimed the laser at the aggressor's chest, which immediately de-escalated the situation. The hostile driver returned to his vehicle and awaited the police. The officers confirmed that Adam's non-lethal response was perfectly judged. That night, Byrna didn't just prevent a potential tragedy, it saved two lives without causing physical harm. Byrna is legal in all 50 states, requires no background checks, and can be conveniently shipped directly to your door. More than 500,000 units sold and proudly hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna.com/Howie now for an exclusive 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Howie, BYRNA.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok.
At Howie Carr Radio Network.
The name is hot. The brand is hot.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is how many illegal aliens would you like to see deported? None of them, all of them, or only the ones who are burdens slash criminals on us?
All of them.
90% of the audience says all of them, 9% for only the ones who are burdens slash criminals, and 1% wants to see nada deported.
All right. 1%. Okay. 844-500-4242. Interesting with JW, Judicial Watch, says 978. I've been wondering, where does a citizen go when their own government is ignoring the law? You just have to get it out there. I write columns about it and talk about it on the radio, but you're right. I mean, they have no concern. It's like I've been saying, there's more transparency in Mogadishu than there is in Boston, whether it's the state government or the city government. Do you go to the U.S. attorney? And outfits like Judicial Watch, good for them. Good for us, too. 781 says, conservative publications should contribute to Judicial Watch and use them as the new muscle for media to get traction on FOIA requests. Heck, I would contribute. The problem is, again, in the blue areas. The Trump administration is fairly cooperative. I mean, they've been abused by the deep state for so long that they have a better understanding of constitutional niceties, I should say. And but the Democrats, especially in these one party states, they don't feel that they need to respond at all. And this is the problem we've got. 844-500-4242. This weekend, good time to pick up my book for Christmas, Mass Corruption. It's Volume 1, The Cops. You can get it at HowieCarshow.com. Click on Store, and you can get an autographed copy for a few dollars more. Or you can just get it at Amazon. Go to just go to Amazon.com and type in Mass Corruption, Howie Carr. And I just was looking that you order it today, you'll get it by Monday from Amazon. They're doing a good job getting the book out. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Howie. Hey, I just want to tell you, I know I heard you mention gas prices again, and I've heard you mention a couple times this week. I just gassed up in here in Iowa for $2.13 a gallon.
It's better than it was, isn't it, Steve? A lot better than it was.
Yeah, especially I'm driving an F-250, so when I have to fill it, it doesn't break the bank anymore.
Yeah, and I understand they got to get the diesel prices down, because that's what all of our the products that we use and the food that we eat is delivered on diesel powered trucks, most of it. But I will take this as a start. You know, it took the Biden. Go ahead.
It's like $3.89 a gallon for diesel here, so it has come down. Not a lot, but it is coming down.
Yeah, and they're going to keep working at it. I mean, this is the one thing that they're going to do. And you know, I didn't know when he was nominated whether I would think that he would do a good job. But Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, he seems to have a really good handle on it. The Energy Secretary seems to know what he's doing. This is such a departure from the Biden administration, just across the board, how much better it is. Thanks for the call, Steve. I'm glad you're doing well with the gas prices. 84, we all are doing well with the gas prices. Meanwhile, Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy is talking about pulling every federal dollar possible from states that give illegal aliens CDLs. Cut 7. We'll have it here in a second. The reason it's a big story is because the latest thing. A non-English speaking Chinese bus driver with a New York license killed a truck driver in a Tennessee crash on I-40 in Tennessee. Huang Yaisong, a 54-year-old Chinese national, slammed the tour bus he was driving into the rear of a tractor trailer while watching videos on his cell phone. Oh, isn't that nice? His immigration status is not clear at this time. The state of New York issued a non-domiciled CDL to Yaisong. That's nice. You don't even have to live in the state. You don't even have to be a U.S. citizen. You don't even have to be a legal alien, apparently, and you can get one in New York or California. Here's the sound cut from Sean Duffy.
The federal taxpayer, the American taxpayer, should not be funding these states. So we will pull every dollar possible from every single state that's unwilling to work with this administration and these longstanding rules to make sure that when American and a family gets in a car, they shouldn't be worried that they have an unqualified foreigner operating an 80,000-pound big rig that could endanger their lives, by the way, or an unqualified driver operating a motor coach.
No verdict in the on the first day of deliberations, about 3.5 hours by the Brian Walsh jury in Dedham today. I'm surprised. I thought for sure they'd have a verdict. We'll be right back with pollster John McLaughlin. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I follow my text line here very closely, and I see that a lot of you are concerned about the direction of the polls, and a lot of it, I think, is just agitprop from regime-controlled media. I don't think you should worry about stuff that you see on Facebook or stuff that pops up on your news feeds. But, you know, I like to check in with people who know more about what's going on in terms of polling than I do. So we're glad today to be joined by John McLaughlin. He's a longtime pollster for President Donald Trump and other Republicans. And John, how would you assess the situation right now, heading into 11 months away from the midterms?
Well, it could be better, but I'm concerned about the Trump voters not coming out, because nationally the president got 77 million votes and we won the popular vote in 2024, and That gives us, in the midterm, you have a lower turnout. So, like back in 2018, you had 118 million voters come out. In 2022, you had 112 million voters come out. So we had 156 million come out in 24, and Trump voters were 77 million out of the bunch. And you're looking at elections this year, like in Virginia, 4 years ago, Governor Youngkin got elected because Trump voters came out as heavy as Harris voters, and in the lower turnout, he was able to win. Cittarelli in New Jersey runs close, lost by 2 points 4 years ago. This time he loses badly, and it's because even though Trump got 2 million votes in each of those states and ran kind of close, this time around 600,000 Trump voters stayed home. Each of the Republican candidates got only 1.4 million. So a lot of the Trump voters are seemingly complacent, while if you voted for Kamala Harris, you're an anti-Trump voter and you're more motivated to come out. The only exception to that rule this year was in the suburbs of New York City, where Mondami is now the mayor-elect, but you had the county executive, Bruce Blakely. Nassau County is a large county. It's like that.
Right. He wants to run for governor now.
Yeah, anyone. I did his polling, so it's a full disclosure. So we won by 12 points. It's an 8-point Democrat county, and the Trump voters. We had a list of voters who registered Republicans and conservatives, and if you voted in 24, but you didn't vote in 21, 22, or 23, we went and we worked you with issues that Bruce had cut taxes, and the Democrats wanted to raise taxes. Bruce had hired 300 more police, and it's the safest county in America. He worked with ICE and locked up a couple thousand illegal immigrants, criminal illegal immigrants, and it's the safest county in America. And the Democrats, they're in favor of cashless bail, in favor of letting people go. And the Republicans won double digits across the board, top down, every town office, every local office. But the Trump voters came back out there. They're not coming out in these other races. And I'm concerned about, basically, Trump's coalition was working class voters. And when he wanted to win in 2016, he says to me, how are we going to win? And I said, 90, we're going to maximize the anti-Hillary voters because your voters don't like Hillary. We're going to pick off libertarian votes that Gary Johnson had. Remember, he was at like 10% in the polls, but he evaporated. And then I said, we're going to bring out millions of new voters who are working class voters who didn't want to vote for Mitt Romney in 2012, and they didn't come out. And we had polls in 2013 that the average voter who would have voted against Obama in, like, Virginia and Florida and Ohio, their average income was $60,000. They weren't going to vote for Obama, but they didn't vote for Mitt Romney, so they didn't vote. So we had 9 million more voters come out, and Trump won the Rust Belt, and he won, you know, an electoral victory. And then in 2024, we made the coalition even bigger. And if you were a 2020 Biden voter that switched to Trump in 2024, which is about 5 or 6% of the electorate, the switchers were a quarter black, quarter Hispanic. The average age was 35. They were younger voters who were fed up, and you know, they were tired of COVID. They were tired of the lockdowns. They wanted the economy to get better. They didn't like high inflation and prices, and they switched to Trump. And now what you've got is, yeah, if you're a Trump voter, they think things are going along fine, while the other side, Democrats, are coming out heavy to try to beat Trump because they just don't like him.
But, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. We notice it with our advertisers, like, you know, gun sales are down because people aren't worried that they're not going to be able to buy any guns or ammo in, you know, in the coming years. They're not buying as many emergency food supplies because they're not worried. I dare say they're not buying as many generators either because they're not worried that there's going to be any shutdowns of electricity may be more expensive, but they're not going to shut down anything for the green energy scam. I mean, how do you get? But you got to make people understand or be more concerned that if the Democrats take over, it'll be back to the Biden disaster again. How do you do that, John McLaughlin?
You got to tell them. You got to go flat out have a contrast. I mean, President Trump's thinking about having a convention this year. Well, we should have a convention. But if any Republican running for Senate or Congress wants to come to that convention, they better sign on to a platform where it's a contrast of what the Democrats want to do versus what we want to do. I mean, Trump had a great convention in 24 in Milwaukee, and we had a really solid platform where the people support us on the issues. And when you look at it, like affordability being the top issue, how can you lose affordability to the Democrats when they want to raise taxes? The top affordability issue is taxes. And you get guys like Mondami who want to raise taxes on property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes. I mean, I was telling you, the guys in Nassau County, in the suburban New York, we ran on cutting taxes, and the Democrats wanted to raise taxes. Simple contrast. By the way, every Democrat member of the House and the Senate, the entire Massachusetts delegation,
of course,
voted to let the Trump tax cuts lapse. That would have been a $4.5 trillion tax increase that would have raised taxes $2,000 to $3,000 on every individual, and the Republicans don't say anything about it. No.
I know, but you know the way it was portrayed in the mainstream media. It was in. We Democrats voted to end tax cuts for billionaires, and you're right. Republicans had no response. It was total BS.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I live outside the Beltway, and you got to fight. You got to have a contrast. And the Democrats, you're right. There's a tax cut for billionaires. Well, you know, that's not true. You flat out have to say, no, it would have raised taxes on the average individual. Their income taxes would have gone up. They want to raise taxes on a corporation. Corporation, just pass it on. So people would have lost jobs. People would have lost income. And you'd have more big government. So you got to play offense. And the Republicans, I think they got, you know, when they win, they think they've done all these great things, and they don't realize that, you know, the Democrats are going to double down, and you just have to go right back at it, where they want to raise taxes and we want to cut taxes. And by the way, January, the no tax cuts on tips, on overtime, and on Social Security start this January. And a lot of the blue states are not going to go along with what the federal government wants. I mean, how could you be for the working class people when you want to tax their tips and their overtime, and you want to tax seniors on Social Security? I mean, we can't let that pass. I mean, my great friend Pat Cadell, who's a late great pollster, he was a friend, he was a supporter of President Trump. He always had a saying: the Democrats were the crooked party, and the Republicans were the stupid party. Well, the midterm election is a test to find out how stupid you are. It's just like if we let the Democrats back in, but they want to go back to open borders, they want to go back to higher taxes, they want to go back to men playing in girls.
Green energy scams, too. That's what's killing the Northeast. The cost of electricity is through the roof because all this phony baloney windmills and solar energy, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But when Trump comes out and says, he goes to the rally and says, this affordability issue is BS. I mean, I totally agree with him, but I'm not sure that's resonating with voters in the middle. What do you think?
No, that wasn't the right answer. But he says that because he knows that they would want to raise taxes and they want to keep prices high. If it was up to the Democrats, you'd still be paying $6 or $7 a gallon of gas. And
right. There's a good line right there. That's a good line for the next speech.
But you have to say it. And that's why you have to talk. His speech in Pennsylvania on Tuesday night was full of facts and figures because obviously his economic advisors, friends like Larry Kudlow and Steve Moore and Art Laffer and Steve Forbes, they were like, you got to put out the case. You got to tell people the facts because the economy is starting to grow again. The bad part is after 4 years of Biden inflation, you just got such a hole to dig out of it. And the only way to get out of it is to grow the economy so that for the first time at the end of this year, wages are increasing faster than inflation. You have to keep that going all through 26. And you have to go tell people the way Ronald Reagan told people.
Yeah, but, Ronald Reagan, though, I've been thinking about this. He took a bad beating in 82, didn't he, in the midterms? Because he was dealt such a lousy hand by Jimmy Carter. I mean, he had to dig out of a hole, too.
Yeah, you bring him back. I was a young guy working for Arthur Finkelstein then, who was one of Reagan's pollsters. And I remember that October, we had 10% unemployment. And Dan Rather went on TV and announced it right before the election, 10% unemployment, we lost 26 House seats. But the difference is, George W. Bush, we had a tax cut went into effect in the second quarter. We had a feeling of patriotism after 9/11. But they pumped the economy so full of money after 9/11 that you had a growing economy, just like you're going to have in 26. And we picked up 8 House seats and 2 Senate seats. So we should be able to hold the Senate, but the key will be holding the House. And the key to holding the House is getting our working-class Trump voters fired up to go back and vote. And don't let them feel complacent because, you're seeing it now. I mean, they want Obamacare was like set up to fail. And they want these exchanges to fail because they want to have government-run health care. And you don't want government-run health care. And, people that are working-class people that are have to go into those exchanges because they're working 2 or 3 jobs and they have to buy some health insurance.
Right.
You want them to be able to use their own money to get something reasonable that they feel secure and they don't have to go on Medicaid or some sort of government-run healthcare program. So so we got real challenges ahead, but you can't do it without having a contrast with the Democrats. You got to call the Democrats out that they're wrong on their policies.
That's why it's good to have Jasmine Crockett out there, right? And Mandami. you have some cartoon like characters out there for the.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mandami, he was like I was talking about this Nassau County election. He had a 69% unfavorable rating in Nassau County. In September and October, he was in virtually all our mailings with Kathy Hochul, the governor. We just went to town. The Hochul Mandami Democrats—they want to raise taxes and they want to cut the police and let criminals go. It was just pretty easy.
Oh God, I just hope he needs 3 more years. He doesn't need to be dealing with impeachment problems come 2027
no.
or something like that. It's just I just hope he can pull it out. Do you think he should be on the road all the time next year?
Not all the time, but a good chunk of the time. He's better when he's outside talking to regular normal
right.
people because his gut instinct is to talk to working class people. He loves it. I mean, during the 23 campaign and the prelude up to 24, when he went to East Palestine and saw the victims of that toxic spill that Biden ignored And he would go to some place in South Carolina, he'd go to get some fast food, and all of a sudden the workers would be praying with him. At the end of the campaign, he's collecting garbage with people after buying all this garbage. He was working at McDonald's. I mean, that's what Trump is. I mean, we had him, and he came to the Ryder Cup in Nassau County in September of this year, right before the election, before my local Republicans. The county executive, Bruce Blakeman, had him at the Ryder Cup. It turned into a USA rally. I mean, they were chanting. It was like great. And the poll I did after it, Trump had a 57% job approval in a Democrat county. It was just,
oh man.
It was, you got to get him outside the Beltway. You're right. He has to get out of Washington. It's like,
And John McLaughlin, where can people go? What's your website that people can read your stuff?
You could go to McLaughlinOnline.com. And we have a poll that we did in November up there. National poll, but we'll have a new one up next week, before Christmas. So go to McLaughlinOnline.com.
Okay, thank you, John McLaughlin, for joining us, and Merry Christmas. What is a niche? The dictionary defines a niche as a specialized segment of the market for a particular kind of product or service. Well, in the area of selling real estate, you could call J.J. Manning Auctioneers a niche in the real estate industry. For almost 50 years, J.J. Manning has sold real estate, but only through auction. In the J.J. Manning auction arena, there are only cash buyers, and all of the weasel clauses are removed from the deal. That's because there are no negotiations, only concrete auction terms. Don't just list your property for sale because it's what your parents did. Set your property apart from the masses in this economy and list your property for an auction sale with J.J. Manning Auctioneers. You sell as is and contingency free. You control the terms and you control the timeline. In Massachusetts, all traditional listings are now required to allow for a home inspection. Luckily, real estate auctions are exempt from that requirement. Estates, businesses, families, builders, bankers, real estate brokers all work with J.J. Manning. The waiting is over when you schedule a J.J. Manning auction. In March of 2026, there is a great commercial property on Washington Street, Route 103 in Claremont, New Hampshire. And new listings in Braintree, Hanover, and Stoneham, Mass. Are coming soon. If you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
You know, I think this is an example of what they need more of, the Republicans, and they got to get this into 30-second spots or sound TikTok videos or Instagram videos. This was a guy. There was a guy calling on C-SPAN from New York, and he was talking to this representative, Dinah Titus. She's from Nevada, and she's giving the usual Democrat spin. She's about 75 or so, and he just lets her have it. Listen to this, cut five.
Talk to Dennis next in New York, Republican line. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yes, I'm about to request in Medicare. I've been trying to get cholesterol and blood pressure medicine under the Biden administration since 2021 to 2024. And I always had a hard time getting a prescription refilled or anything else. It got to the point I actually went down to the office in Western New York Medical. The whole room was filled with illegal immigrants going in and out. I couldn't even get to the counter to get a refill on prescription cholesterol and blood pressure medicine. Anyhow, long story short, a month ago, I was rushed into the hospital with heart failure and that, and I get there, and for the last 6 months, I come to find out that I got kidney failure and congestive heart failure. Not one doctor from Western New York Medical called to notify me. They knew about this for over a year, and now here I am, and I listen to you Democrats saying that illegal immigrants were collecting Medicare and it wasn't hurting the American people.
And it's BS. It's BS. Republicans got to get that message out. The Dems are lying. I'm Howie Carr.